So, the president is doubling down on controlling guns in the United States. He is convinced. He made a comment after the shootings out in Oregon that if we had just adopted some very common sense laws that he wanted, we could have prevented this, as if he could have prevented the shootings out there, okay? And then he did not, in that 12-minute speech, make one suggestion for how he could have prevented that shooting out in Oregon last week. But he said he was going to politicize this, and that's exactly what he's doing. He's making a trip to Oregon on Friday. They're telling him, stay home, don't do this. You know, all you're doing is making a political stance on the graves of these victims, the 10 victims, the 9 victims of the shooter out there. So they're telling him, please don't do it. And he'll go ahead anyways. But the president also said something else, and this is what I want to focus on here for a moment.
But we are not the only country on earth that has people with mental illnesses or want to do harm to other people. We are the only advanced country on earth that sees these kinds of mass shootings every few months. You know, earlier this year, I answered a question in an interview by saying the United States of America is the one advanced nation on earth in which we do not have sufficient common sense gun safety laws, even in the face of repeated mass killings.
Uh-huh. Common sense gun safety laws. You mean like a gun-free zone, Mr. President, where we, like the school in Oregon and every other school basically in our country, where we say you cannot bring a gun on campus. And the shooters know that there are no guns awaiting them if they try to carry out their horrendous acts. They won't be stopped. Not even the security guard at that community college had a gun. Is that what you mean by common sense gun laws? So that law-abiding Americans say, okay, we won't bring a gun, protect ourselves, but the people who could care less about laws bring that gun and massacre others. Is that what you mean by common sense gun laws? He also made this comment that we are the only nation that has these kinds of mass shootings. Is that true? There's an organization called the Crime Prevention Research Center. Its founder and president is Dr. John Lott, who's been with us before on the show. And Dr. Lott has studied these numbers from our country and others and is here to talk about it this morning. Dr. Lott, nice to have you back with us. And all I can tell you is I just shake my head when I hear some of this stuff.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me back on. It's good to talk to you again. I mean, I guess I share your reactions. You know, I assume the one law that the president's referring to is the one that he's been pushing, these so-called expanded background checks. But, you know, he was speaking out before we even knew how the killer had obtained his weapons. And it turns out that that law wouldn't have stopped that, nor would it have stopped any of the other times that the president has spoken out on these horrible attacks. And I understand the desire to go and do something, but as you're saying, there are things that we know are related to these cases, unlike what the president's pushing. And the one common factor, time after time after time, is, as you say, these gun-free zones. And it's even worse than you say in the sense that it's just not that these killers ignore the laws. I believe, if you look at their statements, that they're actually attracted to these gun-free zones serve as magnets for these killers to go and do these attacks.
The killer at the Colorado movie theater a couple years ago passed up the chance to shoot up a movie theater right near his home. He went right by it to another one. The difference, the one near his home was not a gun-free zone. There was a possibility somebody would stop him with a weapon in there. He went to one that was a gun-free zone. You see this more times than not. The killer down in Charleston was going to go to a theater, but found out it was not a gun-free zone. What did he do? He went to that church and shot up the church instead.
Right. I mean, we see explicit statements from these guys. The first target for the Charleston killer was actually the Charleston College. But he had investigated and he found that they had quite a bit of armed security there at the school, and so he decided not to go there. Even the diary for the Colorado shooter that you were just talking about, his first choice was actually the Denver International Airport, but he decided not to do it because of the armed security that was there. Last year, you have the Santa Barbara killer. You even have the mass public shooting in Canada last year. If somebody had gone to that killer's Facebook page, he had multiple comics on his Facebook page making fun of gun-free zones. One of the comics that he had showed a picture of some mass killer, and there was one victim that was in front of him trying to run away, kind of half-turned towards the killer, saying, "Look, guns are banned here. You're not allowed to have a gun here. It's illegal for you to shoot me." And the killer has a bubble above his head that basically says, "What a moron," as he's pointing the gun at the person trying to get away and supposedly about ready to shoot him. The thing is, it seemed long ago people should have realized that these are not random. If you look since 1950, with just two exceptions, every single one of these mass public shootings in the United States have taken place where guns are banned, where general citizens aren't allowed to go and use guns for protection. And at some point, my guess is the entire debate right now would be dramatically different if the media would even, on a somewhat regular basis, would go and mention whether these attacks have occurred in a gun-free zone or not. Instead, they focus on how the person obtained the gun or what type of gun was used. Often they're wrong about those things because they're trying to get it out so quickly, but the fastest and easiest thing for them to check would be to see whether or not the attack occurred in a place where people were allowed to defend themselves or
not. Dr. John Lott, stay where you are. A lot more to come on this and your phone calls too at 800-859-0957. But WJR features traffic and weather first on the fives. Mark Mitchell's on duty. Good morning. Dr. John Lott is with us this morning, founder, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. Let me ask you this. Your organization has done studies on the number of mass shootings in our country and other countries. And aside from the locations, what have you found? Do we really have that many more mass shootings than other countries?
No, not when you adjust it for the size of the populations that are there. I mean, if you look at Europe as a whole, we're actually fairly similar in terms of rates. But what the president likes to do is he likes to just compare it to individual countries. And the problem is that we have 320 million people that live in the United States. The largest country in Europe is Germany, but a lot of the countries, and they have like 80 million people there, but a lot of the countries have 4 million, 8 million, 16 million people that are there. And so, you know, you may have an attack one time in Finland, and another one in France, and another one in Austria, another one in the Czech Republic. You know, you got to add them up in some ways rather than just going and treating them as, you know, not taking into account the differences in populations. And if you look at a per capita rate in terms of either the rate of mass shootings or fatalities, the United States, just compared to Europe, ranks about 9th or 10th. The thing is, once you get out of Europe, there are lots of countries around the world, in Asia or in Africa or other places, that have very high mass public shooting rates. They don't get a lot of attention. And there are other types of attacks. Russia, for example, if you look at bombings there, their fatalities from bombing attacks are more than twice the death rate that we have for mass public shootings in the United States. And so, you know, it just seems kind of a misreading of the numbers for the president to keep making the type of claim that he does.
Isn't Serbia really high on the list too?
Oh, yeah, Serbia is very high. But, you know, you have other countries in Europe that are kind of more mainstream.
Norway?
Norway has a fair number. Of course, they also have the worst mass public shooting. The killer there a few years ago ignoring the bombing deaths, shot to death 67 people and wounded 110 others. Finland seems to be having, one every 8 months or something like that, where they've had attacks that were placed from universities to other places. And the thing is, the guns are illegal that they use these attacks. In Norway, the handgun that was used there was illegal. They have many strict gun control regulations, haven't stopped it. If you look at Germany, for example, Germany has 3 of the 6 worst K-12 public school shootings. And they basically have all occurred since 2000 there. In that case, all the weapons that were used were illegal. None of the people who engaged in those attacks had gone through the licensing and registration process to go and have a gun. And you look at the big terrorist attacks in France. France has had a number of mass public shootings just in the last year. They've had 2 big ones that have gotten a lot of attention, but they've had other smaller ones that would have 4 or 5 people killed over the years. The European attacks, even the big school shootings in a place like Germany, they only will get coverage for an hour or two in the United States. The United States attacks get covered for weeks in Europe, but the reverse isn't true. And, I'll get calls from Europe about mass public shootings when we have them here in the United States, and they'll ask me, what is it about the United States? And I'll start going through a list of the mass public shootings in, their own country. And, and then the conversation will turn to something else.
Yeah, 30 seconds for this. Why did our founders put gun rights into the Constitution?
Right. Well, you should have a lawyer talk about this, but it's just the basic thing is we had Lexington and Concord at the start of the Revolutionary War, where the British troops were trying to seize American arms. And so they knew that we couldn't have had the revolution if the British had been able to control the guns that Americans had. And so they had just learned it firsthand. But it wasn't just limited to that, though that was obviously up foremost in their minds.
Appreciate the time, Dr. John Lott. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you. People can find more at our website at crimeresearch.org if they're interested.
I'm sure they will be. Appreciate it. Talk to you again soon.